This podcast is for entertainment purposes only and does not contain or replace your own financial, tax, legal, or financial product advice.
G'day, it's Glenn here. You're listening to My Millennial Story, and I'm with Tim from Perth. G'day, Tim. How are you?
Very good, thank you.
The reason why Tim is on My Millennial Story is he put up a cool post in the Facebook group, and I'll read the post. Just wanted to say a big thank you to the podcast and for the group for keeping me empowered, dedicated, and answering any question I've had money-wise. 9 months ago, I had 15K car debt and no real direction in my financial future. After binging every episode, following the spending plan, using the debt snowball, and moving into my camper trailer for the last 6 months, he paid down his loan, saved up a deposit, and purchased his first home. Thanks for the financial literacy and encouragement. So that's a big story, and you've got a nice photo there of your camper and the home that you got. What, like, if we rewind 12 months ago, what was life like for you financially? Was it living week to week? And, like, how would you describe the Tim 12 months ago?
So about 12 months ago, I was working in regional New South Wales as a mine geologist. I was sort of experimenting with, you know, trying to save money and not being very successful during the whole process. That's when I stumbled upon the group and the podcast, and that's when I sort of, you know, started learning about, you know, quarantining your money and, you know, trying to do that. So I experimented, you know, with the spending plan, just, you know, trying to separate my money, you know, put an account for bills and an account for splurging and, you know, trying to separate it. But, you know, like I saved a bit of money, but I just found because of where I was located, you know, there wasn't really much to do. So the one thing I was spending my money on was food. Like I was driving 3 hours to the nearest grocery store at Dubbo to go buy Wagyu steaks, just so I could have some kind of experience, you know, to get out of my sort of very monotonous country life.
Yeah, wow. So you're a geologist by training and education?
Yep.
Yeah, sweet. So in terms of, like, what's your approximate income?
So when I first started as a geologist in Cobar, I was on around 85K, which is as a graduate, so that's pretty standard wage. That's before tax. And then moving into like a mine geologist, you'd expect to get, you know, at least 100,000. Like I was fortunate enough to get like just over 110, which gave me about 6K net take home after each month. So.
So what, and so you had no direction in your financial future, so you didn't have a target or a goal at the time, you were just kind of working and existing. How old are you?
So I just turned 26 in September, so.
Yeah, sweet.
I always knew I wanted to buy a house, but, you know, I didn't really have any timeline about when that was going to be possible, so. Mm.
And the car debt of 15K, like when you were working, earning, you know, 80, 100K, did you have any savings as well and the car debt, or just the car debt and just blowing all your money?
So prior to purchasing the car, I think I had about $9,000 saved, and I was under the assumption that, oh, you know, you need to build credit, you know, so go get some debt so you can show that you can pay off a loan. And then, you know, obviously learning from my millennial money, that's obviously the wrong way to do it. Mm. Yeah, so I had a bit of money saved up before, so then I loaned like $20,000, and then so I just started paying it down, you know, in regular installments, just so I could do it. I did get a variable loan because I knew I did want to pay it off quicker than the 2 months that they had originally targeted for me.
Yeah, and was the car debt on the camper?
So the it was for the vehicle's a Nissan Patrol, and it's actually a custom built ex Telstra vehicle. So it's got this so the canopy on the back came with the car. So I bought the car purely because it had the canopy on it. Because I've done quite a bit of camping in the past. I actually grew up in a motorhome for the first 5 years of my life.
Wow. So, were you like, was it a circus family or just?
No.
Like, what was it? Shout out to all the circus people.
Yeah, they just enjoyed, traveling and, you know, camping and, you know, sort of getting away from like the 9-to-5 kind of thing. So
yeah,
it was a very interesting way to grow up, that's for sure.
But for you to live in the camper for 6 months, it's, I guess, no sweat off your nose, because that was somewhat norm for you and your experience in life anyway.
That's right, so...
Yeah, interesting. Yeah,
so, like, it was definitely, you know, I obviously hadn't done it as an adult, so I didn't, you know, it was definitely a difficult task.
And what happened 9 months ago that, you know, made you, or for want of a better word, snap and want to clean up your debt and get something happening with your life and your future?
So in June, I still had roughly about 15,000 car debt left, and all of a sudden the mine that I was working at decided that they're going to close down and that they're going to finish production. So it was, you know, quite a stressful time. I was, you know, looking for my next pathway, my next job. You know, I'm trying to figure out what to do. I've built all this debt and now I have no job to satisfy the repayments on that. So I went through all my savings accounts, you know, found every little scratch of money I could find, sold off all my furniture. At that same time, I got my tax refund back and I got, you know, my redundancy payout, and I just pulled all that together, smashed the debt out, and then I could sort of breathe, you know, easily, you know, easier that it's, you know, that I wasn't going to have that financial stress of having to satisfy a loan.
So how much was the tax return?
I think it was like just over $3,000.
Yeah, okay. And how much was the redundancy?
It was about $9,000, and then they gave me some annual leave as well.
Yeah, so you basically just gone, well, I'm using this time, I've been made redundant, I'm just going to press reset on my life, clear my debt, I've got my car, my mobile home for whatever, and I'm starting my life again from scratch with basically no money, but I've got no debt, but I've also got a car that I own that I can also live in.
Yeah.
And were you renting at the time when you got made redundant?
Yeah, so the company, they had company houses in Cobar, and it was, you just paid, I think it was $55 a week for rent, so very, very good.
Yeah.
So.
And then what happened? Did you then decide to move to Perth? What was the train of thought there? Did you follow a job? Did you follow another human being? What's the deal there?
So after finding out the mine was going to shut down, there was about another week or so of work, and during that time I just sent out like 100 resumes, trying to, you know, talking to all my LinkedIn contacts, just trying to, you know, find my next path, and fortunately one of my friends set me up with a job in Parks, and I worked there for a month while I as a contractor while I looked for something full time, and fortunately I was out on an RC rig, which is a very dirty job, you know, drilling rocks into the ground trying to get some dust to sample, and then I was on a job interview with this great company in Perth, and they said that they'd love to offer me a job. So I said, yeah, this is going to be fantastic. So I moved out of the company provided house at the second job, and I jumped in the van, drove to Perth in about 5 days, got there on a Sunday, and flew into work the next day.
When you first got into Perth, is that when you were living in the camper trailer?
Yeah, full time. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So, like, talk me through it. So where did you park it?
All right, so... This is probably a little bit naughty, but wherever I could.
Yeah.
So, yeah, usually at the beach. Usually, the beach, you know, like that's pretty, you know, you see it on Instagram, you know, hashtag van life.
Yeah, when I go for a walk in the morning, I see, like, all the Tims near me, and they've got people that are parked at the beach. You know, they've obviously slept there the night and whatnot.
Yep.
Like, where do you shower?
I was fortunate on my first night in town, I actually, one of the public showers at the beach actually was hot water. So I had hot water showers straight from the start. So
wow. And then you had the new job, and you said to them, all right, guys, thanks for the first day. I'm going home now. I walked out the front. I'm like, oh, I'm home. Where am I going to drive?
Exactly.
Yeah. So, wow. And then, so this went on for about 6 months.
Yep.
And during this time, what was your salary at the new role in Perth?
So it was just over 110,000. So
it wasn't chicken feed.
No, definitely not.
So I guess because you had the spending plan, you could basically just plug that straight in and then press reset with the right structure. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So I had very limited fixed costs. Like the only fixed costs I had was like my phone bill, which had, you know, like enough data so I could still stream Netflix.
Yes.
Otherwise, I would have went crazy.
Yeah. And did you have, did you meet a partner or were you in a relationship when you're in Perth?
No, all single, fortunately. Yeah. There wasn't much room in the back of the car, so it would have been a bit harder to have a relationship in there.
Do you want to come over to my house? Oh, it's out the front.
However, there was one trip I went down to Margaret River with one of my mates, and he slept on the other side, and yeah, it was quite toasty in there.
Wow. So if you do want to have a look at the camper van, just go to the Facebook group, and in the search function on the left, just search Tim Bevis and you'll see the conversation, or search like camper trailer and that will pick up the keyword, and there's a photo there of his camper van. Now, you then purchased a house in Perth. How long did it take you to save the deposit, and what deposit did you save?
My first week off in Perth, I went straight on, you know, realestate.com, and I was originally looking at cheap apartments in the city, you know, around that 200,000. So I was like, oh, you know, I could probably get away with like a 10% deposit. So I only need to save 20 grand at the start.
Mm.
I then tried to do that, and I found out that my car literally wouldn't fit. It was too tall to fit in any of the
apartments. Car parks. Yeah. Wow.
So then I sort of, you know, and then looking at all the nice houses as well, because I wanted to keep it, you know, close to the city in Perth so I could be close to the airport, you know, close to the action. And I found that all the houses were like 600,000, 700,000. So it was already very tough. So, you know, like I spent the next sort of 3 months doing, you know, quite extensive research, and I found out that you can be close to the city and to the airport in this suburb called Rivervale.
Yes.
Which is it's about 4 or 5 kilometers from the city, 4 or 5 kilometers from the airport, and it's gone through some rough times in the past, but it's starting to really, you know, pick up. And you know, you can buy houses there for like half the price that you can pay for in the suburb next door, being only a couple of streets away. So I thought, you know, this would be ideal. So yeah, fortunately, I always had a goal sort of like, yeah, try to get 10%, but I was able to get into the property with just an 8% deposit. So.
And did you have to pay lender's mortgage insurance?
I did, unfortunately. My contract was signed in December, and I actually just missed out on the first home loan government scheme.
Oh, wow.
By a couple of weeks. And fortunately, the bank who I went with, they told me on the phone before I submitted the offer that I could actually get into the house with only 5%, and that they'd take the LMI out of my loan amount.
Yes.
And unfortunately, that was incorrect. So then the last sort of 2 months, I've just been even more stingy, saving every scrap I could possibly get. You know, I think I was almost only using like 5% of my salary.
Yeah, wow.
So,
and what was the purchase price of the house?
So I ended up settling for $345,000. So it's for like a 400 square meter, 80-year-old house.
Yeah,
so
it's a nice peach color or pink or whatever it is.
Yeah, something like that.
It's cute.
A little terracotta.
Yeah, so there you go. So that's kind of a cool story. And we're going to ask you some questions from other people in the Facebook group. But if you're thinking, you know, oh, well, how come I did that? Or how come he didn't do this or that? It's like his story is different, and there can be no same stories. Everyone's got their own story and journey. So we can't judge. We can just listen and go, oh, that's cool. But what it also speaks to, he could have went and paid for a hotel for the first 3 months or rented. But Tim, you've obviously gone, nah, I can actually put up with this for a short time so I can get into my own place sooner. So there was an element of sacrifice, I would imagine, and not everyone's used to, like I certainly wouldn't do it in a million years because I just, not me, but other people can, right? So let's, do you want to answer some questions, Tim?
Yeah, sounds great.
All right. So I'm just going to, I haven't actually read these. So Tim asks, does he enjoy having the name Tim?
Yeah, no, it's not bad.
Yeah, it's not bad. Yeah, sweet. Rachel Noonan asks, what has he cut out while saving? Would love some ideas on what else I could do to save. Well, he didn't pay rent.
Yeah, literally. So yeah, obviously I didn't pay rent. I was also, you know, quite stingy in terms of alcohol and food. Like I tried to, you know, really, really like, yeah, try to save every cent I could possibly get. So,
do you reckon, are you a spender or saver by nature, do you think?
Definitely a spender. So, yeah, I love just to walk around Kmart.
But when you put your mind to something, you can nail it.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm very stubborn, so yeah. That definitely came in handy. Like, I wasn't going to settle for anything less than I wanted. So.
But, like, a year ago, because Tim didn't have a goal, you were just cruising around passively. Yep. You weren't being active.
Exactly, so, yeah.
And I'm kind of like you. Like, I'm a spender, but give me a goal, give me something to nail, and yep. I'll go and get it. So,
yeah.
So, there you go, Rachel. You can move out of your house and stop paying rent. Jennifer asks, where did the camper van stay while you were living in it? Well, there was a few questionable legal places. Did you ever do anything like, I don't know, just something random other than a surf car park? Did you sneak into clubs and have showers?
As I was saying earlier, like I had the shower situation all sorted, so I was fortunate with that, so I didn't have to sneak into anywhere, but yeah.
And I guess it wasn't too hot, was it, over the June period?
Yeah, not early on. And that's one of the things that made me really, you know, strive to look for a house, because it started getting real hot in November when that, you know, those, you were getting those mid-40s and, you know, upper 40, you know, degrees.
Hmm.
Like, yeah, it was getting real hot, so.
And just where do you send your mail when you're, like, a nomad?
So I send it all back to my parents. Yeah, yes. Thank you so much for scanning it to me.
Shout out, Mum and Dad. Which is weird that we still even need mail, but whatever. Chloe asks, how do people react when you told them that you were staying in your camper van to save for a house deposit?
So my parents, obviously, you know, doing the same thing when they were in their mid-20s, you know, they were like, oh, that's a no-brainer. That's great. But,
yeah.
My work colleagues, they were definitely, you know, questioning it, you know, they're, you know, feeling bad for me, and I was like, no, this is great, you don't understand.
Yeah, that's cool.
So yeah,
Jessica Hodgson, maybe a comment, can I buy your camper so I can do the same?
No, but I can show you what to do.
Yeah. Felicia asks, did you put yourself into debt to actually purchase the camper van, knowing that it was going to be better for you in the future? Well, it was just your daily car anyway, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly. So, like, as a geologist, you know, we do a lot of exploring out in the, you know, remote wilderness. So, you know, like, I originally bought it so I could go and, you know, go, you know, prospecting for gold and stuff out in the gold field. So, that was my original.
What's your favorite hard metal or mineral or rock?
Well, you have to say gold, don't you?
Well, I guess.
But I reckon there's this one, rhodium. It's actually, like, 4 times the price of gold, and you can possibly for it at the creek in Tasmania. So
really? Interesting. Yeah. What's the go with moon rock? Is there much of it on Earth? I think I've touched some in the Smithsonian.
Yeah, so like there's all different kinds of meteorites that like fall down to Earth, and yeah, like some are, you know, from the moon, some are from Mars, some are from other, you know, other galaxies, you know.
Yeah, and I saw this big bit of it was like a big meteorite in Greenwich in England, and it was almost like the size of a chair, and it was right, really dense, heavy metal. Like, it was wild.
Yep.
Anyway, enough about my curiosity. Irina asks, what were your priorities when saving? Well, it was obviously the house. Is that a fair statement?
Yep. Yeah, so every week off, I'd set up a bunch of house inspections to go to, so I was... It was constantly in my mind. Like, I didn't really, you know, let up the whole time.
Mm. Anthony asks, do you miss living in the camper van?
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you can always go camping, yeah.
Yeah. It's great having my own shower and my own bathroom now.
Totally. Totally.
Yeah.
Alana asks what people thought. We've answered that. Scott McWork, would Tim try and make a profitable business manufacturing camper van selling / renting to the others that have the same aspiration to eventually start their to eventually own their own place? Also, what's the rough cost to set up the camper van? So I guess, yeah, sure, anyone can start a business. But so to set the camper van up, like, you already had the ute, like, was it $1,000 worth of fit out crap or $10,000? What type of price is it?
So I did all the, I built the bed and the, and my pantry and my kitchen bench all myself. I think it was about $300 or $400 in raw materials. I also bought a real good fridge. Like, I had a fridge and freezer section, you know, that you could that you control separately. So I could also have ice cream in there. So
yeah, yeah.
Good. I also put a solar panel on the roof. It was like 250 watt. It was about $250. Mm. So yeah. So I think like probably just around $1,000 just in materials, and then the fridge on top of that. So,
mm.
But I could have definitely have done it cheaper with a smaller fridge. But I think quality of life would have been a little bit.
Do you have a favorite type of ice cream?
Oh, I don't mind a gay time.
Oh, nice. I had one the other day for the first time in like a million years. And there's a question here, and we don't need to go into it because I think we've answered it all, but Trent McNeil said, Tim's story sounds great and would love to hear more for the inspiration, but context is important. Where does he live? What does he do and earn? How much deposit does he have? There's a big difference between someone earning 100K, paying 15K, blah, blah, blah. So I think the thing that we need to really pick up in this story, you didn't just fly to Perth, get an apartment, start renting, and just get back into the rhythm. You went, I'm going to stop, regardless of your income, and sacrifice.
Exactly, yeah. So, like, it was pretty fortunate for me because my work roster, you know, like, I was working 8 days on, 6 days off. So, it was only really 6 days at a time that I had to work through. And to me, like paying rent just to live in the house for 12 days a month, it just didn't make sense. You know, that was the other sort of benefit about doing this is that, because I was working like fly in, fly out, obviously.
Yeah, yeah. Helen asked, was there a specific moment or event which triggered you to change your approach to finances and life? Well, I think it's a fair comment that we made, well, that you agreed with, Tim, that when you were made redundant, you thought you'd press reset.
Definitely. Yeah, and obviously, like listen to the podcast. You know, like I increased my financial literacy from that, and you know that obviously, you know, was able to help me get on the right path.
And also to just stay encouraged. Like, I learn stuff from doing the podcast, and I use it as encouragement. Yep. Like, we're not solving. You know, we're not splitting the atom every week on the podcast, but it's just this like encouragement thing. Kate asks,
like a constant reminder.
Totally. What was his usual day like living in a van, and what were the things he missed after cutting back expenses so drastically?
So, more so because of where I was camping out, the sleep-ins were a lot harder. Like, I obviously had to sort of wake up and get started before people were, you know, were around. So, I used to wake up early in the morning, and but my number one rule was, you know, don't camp and cook at the same place. So I'd camp somewhere and then I'd go to another place to cook just so that those people weren't, you know, I wasn't being disruptive to their space.
Yeah.
And and then obviously, like, I'd be showering at the beach, you know, spend most of my time at the beach. There were like week offs that I shot down to like the Margaret River, which is so beautiful, incredible. So it really changed. But mostly, like, the routine was just, wake up, cook, and then just stream some TV in the house.
Alyssa asks, and shout out Alyssa, she's a very similar nomad who I met in Hobart at the live event. She's an outdoor gal, loves the wilderness, if you will. How do you prep meals before going to work? Did you find a cost of work? And did you find a way to shower? So we've answered that. But what did you do with like work lunches?
So fortunately, my employment, they provided all the food and accommodation when I was out at work. So I didn't have to worry about that. But the one thing I did make sure I brought out was some real good coffee.
Yeah, totally. Tyler asks, could he have done another 6 months living in the camper van?
So funnily enough, that same morning that I went to the first inspection of this property, before that happened, I was actually, you know, thinking to myself, I was like, maybe I'll just do this for another 6 more months, you know, and then get that 20% deposit. But then, you know, it was just by chance that I stopped by this place and, instantly fell in love. I was like, this is going to be such a good project to work on, you know, in my weeks off. So,
So that's been cool. And thanks everyone for putting your questions up on the Facebook post. But I guess we'll finish off with, you know, we've talked about the past, we've talked about where you are today. What are your kind of financial/life goals going forward for the next, say, year, 2, 3, 4 years, or what's on the horizon for you?
So I've got lots of plans for this house that I've moved into. Like, I'm going to extend it, add another bathroom, another bedroom in, and just do whatever I can to add value to it, so then I can get some equity and then hopefully buy another property in a year or two from now. So
yeah, so your whole goal will be just make the house nice to live in the same time, maybe increasing the value. Do you know how much have you earmarked an amount to spend on it?
So fortunately enough, the property that I've purchased, the valuation actually came back, I think, like 50 or 60,000 more than I paid for the property. Wow. So I've sort of got that already in my mind that, you know, I could comfortably spend like 50 grand the house and, you know, and just imagine what it'll be worth then. So,
And are you like will you just cash flow the renovations?
Yeah. So I'm going to try to do a lot of the smaller stuff myself. I'm going to knock a wall out in a couple of weeks with some help.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's all going to be sort of myself, hopefully.
Yeah.
It's going to be a lot to learn. Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah. It's only minor stuff to do, so it's not more cosmetic sort of stuff.
Yeah. So, yeah. You're not rewiring everything.
No, exactly. Yeah.
So, well, Tim, thank you so much for sharing a bit of your story, and I hope to encourage other people listening just to think outside the square to live in. And I know that you're a little bit gun shy to come on and share your story, but I appreciate it, and I'm sure there's many, many others that are listening who also appreciate it, because, you know, we can learn from each other, even though our stories are different and we might not be able to do someone else's story in a million years, but we can certainly learn the key concepts about having a goal, sacrifice, and really being inspired to do something different with your life.
Yeah, no, it's been great.
Sweet. All right, well, we'll talk soon.
No worries, thank you.
All right, see you, mate.
If you're after personal financial advice, this podcast is not for you. But if you do want a financial advisor or mortgage broker to talk with about your own personal situation, head over to sortyourmoneyout.com, click Get Help, and we'll put you in touch with one of our trusted professionals.
This podcast supports A21, a charity focused on abolishing slavery and human trafficking all over the world. Check out a21.org.au for more info. If you want some other giving options, or if you are unsure about which charity you can support, head to thelifeyoucansave.org.au.
Thanks to Jess Knaus, producer, Nathan Robertson, editor, and me, Asher. Anyway, make sure you're connected via Instagram and our free Facebook group. We also film most of our content now, so check out My Millennial Money on YouTube.